This morning, when he walked in, Brother Don made a comment to me, "I'm so glad to be born and live in this country." And I would echo that. I've been reading in preparation for some other things. I've been reading some history. And the last couple of days, I was reading a history of England. And just in the 16th century, what it was like for believers in the 16th century England, it was terrible. It was an awful time. It was illegal to have a copy of the scriptures. If you got caught with a copy of the scriptures, at best, you were imprisoned. At worst, you paid for it with your life. Most of the copies of the scriptures that were available were not even in English. They were in Latin. And finally, the Church of England relented to allow churches to have copies of the scriptures that the people could read for themselves. But the copies of the scriptures they had were chained to the pulpits. Couldn't even take them. Had to read them there. And you had to have the ability to read, which most Englishmen didn't. You understand how much we have to be thankful for? Don't raise your hand or yell out loud or anything, but how many copies of the Bible do you have in your house, in your possession, collecting dust? You know, one of the most important features, and I talked about this yesterday in the men's Bible study, one of the most important features, I think, of the Christian life is gratitude. Having, and I don't mean to be flippant about this, but having an attitude that reflects our gratitude. You know, of all people, we should be the most appreciative for who God is and what He's done for us. What He's done in our lives, and what He is doing. I want to apologize to Pastor Matt yesterday for scaring him about 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. I was going to use that this morning, but I'll not do that. I'm just going to reference this and then go this passage in Ephesians 5, and then go back to 2 Corinthians for just a few minutes. First, in Ephesians 5, the Apostle Paul, in the middle of the chapter, admonishes the church at Ephesus, "Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Be filled with the Spirit. How? "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." Verse 20, "giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Giving thanks to God always for all things. Giving thanks. Gratitude is to be a part of our lives that everybody should see. Unsaved people should see that we as believers are grateful to our God. Saved brothers and sisters in the Lord should see that we are grateful to God for all things. And as was mentioned in Sunday school and yesterday, and as Paul so clearly states in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, being grateful is the will of God. It is God, and it's not debatable. It's not a question that we have to wonder, well, should I be grateful or should I not be grateful? I mean, Paul specifically says it is God's will for you to be grateful. And I think of all people, Paul exemplified gratitude in some tremendous ways. Paul did not have an easy life. I mean, I'm always struck by that statement that the Lord made to Ananias or in Acts 9 when he told him, go to Saul of Tarsus and tell him what he's going to do. And oh, by the way, while he's doing those things, tell him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. God was very upfront with Paul, letting him know that there's going to be a lot of suffering in his life from that point on. Think about that. He's the one who brought suffering to the church. And now God is going to use him to bring great blessing to the church. But while he's doing that, Paul is going to suffer. Now, Paul doesn't get all the details of that, does he? Because I think if God had told Paul everything that was going to happen to him, Paul would have said, wait a minute, that's not fair. But he doesn't. Paul remained thankful. And it's interesting, the things for which Paul was thankful. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, he says, verse 11, he says, ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. Paul was simply thankful for the prayers of others. It's just other people praying for him. He was grateful for that. In times that were difficult and stressful for him, Paul knew that other... You read the text and you find Paul was under great stress, great strain, but other people were praying for him. And he was thankful for that. Over in chapter 2, beginning at verse 14, he says, now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are a savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. Paul was thankful for not only the prayers of others, but he was also thankful for the opportunities that he had, both pleasant and difficult, to testify of God's truth. So long as it's done in sincerity and honesty. I mean, he says, we are not as many which corrupt the word of God. Paul made every effort to make sure that his life and his testimony and the message that he proclaimed was truth and honoring to the Lord, above reproach. And he understood that no matter what the result were, sometimes the results were good and sometimes they were bad. He wasn't focused on the results. He was focused on being faithful to God. And he was thankful for the opportunities. Over in chapter 8, he speaks again about this gratitude. Chapter 8, I don't want to read all of it because I want to give a lot of opportunity. But verse 16, he says, but thanks be unto God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. And he goes on and explains, and he says that we ought to be thankful to God for the sincere care of spiritual leaders who are determined to minister God's truth to the saints. You go on and read all the way down through verse 24. He talks about that, the messengers. And then finally, be grateful recipients. Be grateful recipients of financial gifts of God's people that they are willing to give. But above all of that, be thankful to the greatest gift of all that God has given. Look at chapter 9, verse 15. This verse always struck me. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Paul says, I'm thankful for the financial help that the church at Corinth gave. But above that, more important than that, I'm thankful for the gift that God gave. What gift was that? The gift of his son, Jesus Christ. Many, many years ago, I came across a little piece of literature that's actually based on 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15, and it's called Thanks Be Unto God for His Unspeakable Gift. I've never forgotten this little piece of literature. It's meant so much to me through the years. It's based on this text. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift, the greatest gift of all. How can we not, as Christians, how can we not be grateful that God has given us his son? His son paid the penalty for our sins on Calvary's cross. His son bore the wrath of God for my sins on Calvary's cross. And God accepted that payment on my behalf when he raised Christ from the dead. That is the greatest gift of all. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. You know, it's not simply about what God gives us or what God does for us in this life. It really, those are temporal things. Those things come and go. As Matt said in Sunday school, that, you know, our circumstances change constantly. And God gets us through those circumstances, and we're thankful for that. But our focus has to be on him and on what he has done. He has given us eternal life. Lord willing, we'll talk about that next Sunday. What he's done is on an eternal plane. He is the gift of all gifts. He's the greatest gift that anyone could receive. And if you've not received Jesus Christ as your Savior, I implore you, do it today. Don't wait. Don't put it off. Don't hesitate. Do it now. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul says, and thou shalt be saved. Have you done that? I'm going to pray, and then we will begin the testimonies this morning. Father, we do indeed thank you and praise you for the opportunity you give us and the privilege that we have to be called children of God, sons and daughters of the living and true God, that we have a relationship with you because of Christ, because of the sacrifice that he paid for us on Calvary. Lord, may we never take for granted what you have bestowed upon us in that and in the other things. We are deeply appreciative for all things that you've done in us and through us and you will do. We thank you for the privilege we have now to hear these testimonies, and we commit to you the remainder of this time today. In Jesus' name, amen.